I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Listeners to this podcast will also get a 10% discount with Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. Grab a pen and listen up for your exclusive promo code.
Joga Bonita, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Pete's here.
I'm here, hello.
Jim's here.
Hello, I'm here too.
Luke's here.
All right.
Oh, aren't we just now then?
I mean, we're barely here because we're on in a really weird studio that we're only working off two mics instead of four mics. Yeah. It's kind of confusing.
And again, we're stood up again.
Again, behind the curtain.
Feels very zoo radio.
Let him behind the curtain. I don't care.
Oh, unbelievable. the disgrace of disgraces.
Well, this studio.
Historic disgrace. Brazilian football was reduced to dust. I'm responsible for all this. Headlines from Brazil, ladies and gentlemen.
Says Marcus Speller.
Headlines from Brazil.
I think we summed it up quite succinctly in the last podcast,
yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, yes, which everyone seemed to think was our best ever.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Which consisted of one rude word from Pete Donaldson.
The wags. The wags. In all seriousness, I mean, we had a lot of people tweeting saying, can't wait to see what the Ramble think of this. I mean, it's amazing. Going to be amazing cover. I don't really know what to say.
No, I don't.
It's quite
I didn't
hard
at the time, and I've barely said a word since. Yeah. I'm in shock. Like, and I must also say that I said a few shows ago that we're unlikely to see a big scoreline in the semi. So I will have to concede seven times that I may have been incorrect on that.
Didn't you technically say you're not going to see a 4-0 in the semi?
We
didn't. So.
Well, so it's like a 29-minute car crash. It keeps on happening.
Yeah,
I know.
But it was really, I was watching it with my girlfriend, right? And at 4-0 down, right?
Girlfriend.
She said, "Have they just given up?" Because it really did look like they were sulking and they had just actually given up.
Oh,
and just didn't
you think you have scored the same goal again? Oh, you have, good.
Oh, you've got five of them. That only counts as one, right? Because it's the same one over and over.
Well done, Germany. You're playing right into our hands. Oh, it is five. It's 5-0 already. Okay. Basically, Germany scored more goals in 6 minutes than England scored in the whole World Cup.
Spain double only score eight in the last one? Which they won.
Yeah,
I know. Just unbelievable. You shouldn't have to spell out a scoreline in a semi-final.
Against Brazil. It's worse than 1950. We've all spoken so many times about the effect that had on the psyche of Brazil, but I don't think any of us even really considered that they might get such a hammer and it would just ruin them again. But, I mean, it's been pointed out by a lot of critics of Brazil, this might be the worst Brazil side ever if you take away Neymar and Thiago Silva, and then that happened. And, oh, my God, were those people right.
Luke and I were talking on the way up here, as we often do. It makes the train journey a bit more bearable. And I think you're right, Luke, when you said it's the most outrageous and shocking international football result of all time.
Well, I'm only going on feelings, because that's the kind of guy I am.
And results?
But no, because I look at the game and how I felt about it. I felt like, because normally if there's a massive shellacking, you quite like watching it. You know, it's almost like, it's the same, and this is a bit distasteful, but it's the same reason that people slow down motorways. It happens. It's a fact. It happens. Because they're interested in seeing something that
they don't see every day.
Yeah, exactly. So, but this went beyond that for me. I've never felt like, I felt exactly like when you go to a comedy show, someone heckles for a bit and they keep on heckling and you almost become embarrassed by proxy. You almost think you don't want to be there because you're in a situation you want to take yourself out of. But at the same time,
I know that feeling.
At the same time, I couldn't or didn't want to as well turn myself away from it because it was, as you said, it was absolutely remarkable. And I said on the way up here actually that it is the most astonishing football result that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And probably, it's very hard. I wrote a piece earlier in the week about the five most shocking World Cup results. And it was actually very difficult to get close to it. It was difficult to... I mean, of course, when the USA beat England in 1950, they were rank amateurs. I mean, one of the guys who couldn't play against England for the USA because his work wouldn't give him time off. I mean, they were a bad team then.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still, it's a different time, as you say.
But a really, really poor team can beat a really good side 1-0. Those results can happen, and they do happen. We see that in cup competitions, probably every season, or certainly every other season. But 7-1 in a World Cup semi-final, the home defeat by the home nation at a World Cup that's ever happened.
I think everyone's forgotten about David Luiz's free kick.
Yeah, that's annoying for him. It's his own fault.
But 5-0 down, just bombing around like on the edge of Germany's box. It was crazy. But
I think 0-0.
As you were saying, Luke, like I think that even that kind of car crash feeling even seemed to translate to the players. The Brazil players looked so shell-shocked they didn't know what to do. The German players almost looked embarrassed at 5-0. It's like they were trying to make it complicated for themselves to get the sixth in that first half at least, because they just thought, well, we might as well try something really spectacular. They actually could have had more if they'd been a bit more clinical.
It's crazy to say that.
Great to
Yogi Love shouting, only overheads now!
Yeah.
Heads and volleys.
Headed and volleys, yeah.
Volleys from outside the area only, headers inside the area.
Next goal wins, because let's be honest, we're not going to lose.
Yeah. But just look at like Fred and like Hook kind of ambling around the field. You sort of think, wow, they look even worse than they did in the first few matches when everyone hated them.
Someone, what old Fred getting booed.
Someone tweeted us, I think it was you and I, Marcus, saying, oh, it's brilliant to see the team 5-0 down and the Brazil fans not booing. It's like, I think your TV's broken. I think the sound might not be working on your TV because there were boos, especially when Fred came on screen.
Yeah, but in his head, he probably heard...
I thought that Kroos knew the game was up when he scored. Was it the third? He looked like he didn't know what to
do.
When
he put his hands on his face.
Not because it was 3-0, because 3-0 isn't a remarkable score, as we know, but he knew... But what I'm saying is if Germany win that game 3-0 and all the goals happen to be in the first 25 minutes, it's not a ridiculous situation. It's a good win. Okay. But my point is that Kroos wasn't doing that because of the third goal. Mm. He was doing it because he knew how bad Brazil were and he knew the game was up and he knew what was going to happen. And so he almost clearly involuntarily felt embarrassed. But what I wanted to say was, a lot of people are saying, I mean, you said it earlier, I don't know if you said it or you were quoting other people saying it, but this is the worst Brazil team of all time. I don't buy that at all.
No, I don't think.
First of all, you take the two best players out, it's the worst team of all time. Well, take the two best players out of any team, it's not going to be great. No. It's not going to be as good.
Surely their worst World Cup showing of all time, though.
No, because they've got the semis.
The way that they would... It's the nature of it, though, isn't it? They've just been absolutely hammered.
Yeah, but again, if you put two of those players on, maybe Germany's attentions are elsewhere. You know what I mean? They're probably not going to be, moving in and out. You know, you're not going to have people pulling players left, right and centre.
Well, they'd have been more organised at the back,
Silva's the biggest...
Mike on one me on.
Silva's the biggest lot.
Good to know exactly how good Thiago Silva is.
Yeah. I think we said before the game he's probably one of the world's best defenders, if not the best. The thing is that I'm not buying, because they went out in the quarterfinal in 2010. They were overall quite poor. From what I can remember, in the Netherlands game, they were very rigid. They couldn't adapt. They couldn't change it up. And
they were good in the first half, but they had a couple of sucker punches and that was them done.
Exactly. And so essentially what I'm saying is, I know they're at home, but if they were the worst Brazil team of all time, they're not getting to the semi-final. They played Chile, who are a good team. They played Colombia, who are a good team. Fine, it wasn't vintage, but they got through the games. And I think a lot of people are getting confused with Brazil being a cynical, not overtly technical side with being a bad team.
Yeah.
And people are coming out the back of this result today and yesterday saying... something needs to change. They need to change the whole philosophy. The whole thing's sunk. They've been dining out on past results. Fine. If that's the case, then fine. But they are not a terrible team that needs a root and branch review because they had a crazy 20 minutes against Germany in one game. They either are or they're not. It's one of those things where they went a couple down early. The first goal was poorly conceded and it looked bad on the telly and they would have seen it on the big screen. David Luiz was blocked off. Muller looked like he was open 8 yards out, which he was. And it went downhill from there. But then the sort of almost collective neuroses just spread through the team.
It was remarkable.
And they didn't have the personalities and the characters there to actually say, look, step back. And just to finish, I know I'm ranting on a bit here, but and the fact that the environment and the situation they're in also didn't help, because you're in a semi-final at home. You can't take your medicine and move on. it's over. Mm-hmm. You know, so if that's in the group stage against Germany, if they get drawn in a tough group and say the seedings were different and they got Germany in the group and that happened to them after 3-0 after whatever many minutes it was, you'd probably be different. You'd probably sit back and say, right, this is a disaster. Take it on the chin. Keep it tight. People who haven't been getting a stick are people like Marcelo. All their attacks came down the right.
I don't know. I think a lot of the defence have taken the blame. I think basically they just, whatever game plan they had, they utterly, utterly lost after that third goal in particular. And there was just no shape pretty much for the rest of the game. They shored it up a little bit at the start of the first half and then they just got picked off on the counter again. Mm.
It's just, but Marcelo was way up the pitch the whole time.
This is what I mean.
It's crazy.
And sort of living off.
No one was doing their job.
Well, like living off past results, there's still results that happened in the last 20 years, which is more than what a lot of teams can say. And also, 94's team doesn't look that bad now, does it?
This is a team who've not lost a competitive home game since 1975. You can't say the rot has set in. By their own standards, maybe, but the rot hasn't set in to a ridiculous degree over the last 2 years. Of course, they haven't had competitive football because they're hosting the tournament. But, I mean, no one has ever said to them, oh, you're going to get an absolute hammering 6 or 7 here.
And they're in a place where perhaps their defenders aren't the most talented defenders in the world at this very moment. They've always been quite an attacking side. Their goalkeeper, you know, barely plays in a decent league and stuff like that. It's interesting.
It really is. I think
Robert Green's just signed a new contract. So it gets worse for Julio Cesar.
It's funny when people say about Brazil, so far in the tournament, they've kind of chopped and hacked their way to the semi-final.
A big dirty bunch, I believe they were called.
Big dirty bunch. But they weren't at all in that game.
No.
I missed the big dirty bunch.
They were just a big confused bunch.
Well, I think that actually it's interesting when a lot of people, a lot of the Brazilians are saying, well, Germany have beaten us playing the Brazil way. Which is, again, we sort of have a little chuckle when people talk about the West Ham way in this country. The Brazilian way, we are, like many people have said, hasn't been seen since probably the early 80s. And I think perhaps Scolari let that get to him a little bit. Germany were very, very clever in press conferences before the game. They were highlighting the fouls. They were highlighting the way Brazil have played. And they were basically just doing this so the referee would hear what they were saying.
Mm.
And Scolari, I think, let the criticism get to him because you look at that Brazil side, they didn't get stuck into Germany. They tried to play slightly differently. They tried to play a little bit more expansive, a little bit more...
Brazilian, samba, well, all those words.
All that kind of nonsense, yeah. And actually, he should have just stuck to what they were doing because it was working.
Yeah.
And see how far you get in the tournament. And if you win it and nobody likes it, well, up yours, you've got
I think they got them... To expand on that, I think they got themselves as a nation and as a team into a situation where unless they won the trophy, and arguably even if they won it in a horrible way, it still would have been on this, that someone or the whole team or an individual or a manager was going to be on the end of an absolute hammering by the general public and the fans at large, purely because anything less than that, with the social and political situation around it, anything less than that would be seen as a failure. If they lost that game, that's what I'm saying when I'm trying to say they were in an invidious position at half-time or whatever. Because if they were 3-0 down and they shut up shop and just took it, they would have been hammered. They would have been called spineless. They'd have been called, like, you know, cowardly and stuff like that. In a weird way, they should be happy that every single player's getting it. Because if it was 0-0, if they played like a lot of it, we'll come on to a minute, like something like a Holland play against an Argentina side featuring Messi, because they're so scared of Messi that they have to keep it really tight. If they had played like that and it had been 0-0 and Fred had missed a chance in the last minute, he'd have been drummed out of town. He wouldn't be able to go back to Brazil ever again. So they're always going to be... I'm not defending the result because it's obviously remarkable, but they were always going to get on the end of a hammering.
And you just look at the German midfield, for crying out loud. There's a reason why they're in the World Cup final. There's a reason why they get so far. They've got an excellent midfield.
Also, the final indignity, which in a strange way happened early on, is that Closer took the record off Ronaldo within that game as well.
Yeah. Poor old Closer.
It's left nothing
a bit overshadowed, isn't it?
Yeah. Poor old Closer. I'm sure he's pretty happy with his work.
And also the goal at the very end, the one that Brazil scored, thought it was kind of Neuer's fault for coming out.
Neuer looked so angry. It was brilliant.
But he'd been playing so well as that kind of sweeper guy. And the only time that he was in two minds, they scored a goal. Yeah. He's like, oh, for crying out.
He made a phenomenal save off Paulinho.
I guess it's forgotten at the start of the second half, Brazil did come out all guns blazing and they troubled Germany for about 7 minutes and then, you know, the rest is history.
I thought after 3-0, Brazil should have just said, right, for crying out loud, everybody back to the walls, shut up shot for 5 minutes.
boot the ball in the corner.
But it was they were shell shocked.
But they were broken, and I think that they were so emotional before the game. You know, Scolari got a psychiatrist in, didn't he?
Oh, they were set up all wrong. They were set up all wrong emotionally.
Yeah.
With these fours and Neymar hats and taking Neymar's shirt out.
It's ridiculous. That was absolutely crazy. Ridiculous. Yeah, he's not died.
No, and he's 22. He's your best player, but it's not like he's Pele.
But remember,
and you've got to send a team out there, not a tribute act.
I'm getting very tired of the t-shirts and the hats and the mawkish crap that footballers come out with week in, week out. The young lad.
I'm getting fed up with things like week in, week out.
but you know what I mean. But it's just that it seems to be.
It's mawkish.
Match,
it's the right word for it.
There's something else. When who's that young lad who died?
Cameroon.
Young lad who died. Spanish player.
Daniel Harker.
That was a genuinely touching tribute at a World Cup final. And it was fitting and it was useful. And you know,
from a close family friend.
But that is just, I find that stupid.
I was about to say that, if you remember Cameroon, I think that was in the Confederations Cup, was it? Or certainly some little international competition when Marc Vivien Foe died. And they came out in the final against France, it may have been. And they all wore Foe's number on their back and all that sort of stuff. But, that, you know, the guy died for crying out loud. Whereas, as you rightly say, you know, Neymar, great shame what happened to him, you know. But
Do something at the end of the match. I'm not bothered with it.
It was all far too much. There were too pumped up. And Scolari is probably aware of his team's failings, which is why they've played dirty and tried to be really, really solid. And he's tried to get them emotionally psyched up all the way through the tournament. And against Germany, it all broke and came crashing down in that first half.
I just think
spectacular results.
Agree. I just think that I don't accept that Brazil are a bad, bad team.
I don't believe they're 7-1 worse than Germany.
I just think you have a situation where you have a combination of a horrendously ruthless German side who passed around them. And of course, they didn't set up properly in midfield.
Yeah.
And that holding base of midfield has been a problem for them all tournament. We know that. They didn't do the basics properly. They didn't just do a line of four with the two protectors in front, which we've seen, say, a Mourinho team do before against more talented teams. And Germany punished them. But we're talking about four goals in 6 minutes here.
Oh, my goodness.
You're talking about a side who have barely got time to recover.
Yeah.
It's a once in a generation event. It's not something that's good. This is, like I said, this itself isn't the. It may be the trigger event for it, but this isn't the reason in and of itself why Brazil need to change their whole philosophy.
Yeah. But they still allowed it to culminate in this. You know, they're still culpable
True.
For
I was on the radio and every time there's a goal goes in, I've got to play a stab and announce the goal. I was still announcing the second goal when the third and the fourth was getting. So I started announcing that one. The fifth one went in. I was like, and I like football, and I'm trying to do a radio show. I'm going, I can't get the words out.
I thought it was quite hard to watch, and a lot of people going, "Oh, wasn't it brilliant?" And I thought, no, it wasn't. It was in one sense that we've witnessed perhaps the most spectacular result in certainly recent footballing history.
Mm.
But on another hand, it was like watching your favourite uncle get his pants pulled down.
It's the death of romance almost, isn't it?
I was bloody glad that it was on the BBC, not the ITV.
Oh, God,
Charles.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine?
Tilsley would have cried. He would have cried for, like, most of the game.
But I thought Keown was really poor. I thought Keown was
a poet.
He did make a funny comment when he said, "Are Germany going to declare?"
Yeah. One, how's he got that gig, Keown? Semi-final of the World Cup.
He's got an
intimidating
stare.
There's a lot of ex-Arsenal players who are terrible at their jobs.
Oh, are you talking about a London-based media conspiracy, are you?
That's exactly
it's either London or Liverpool, Jim.
It should have been Mowbray and Murphy. They're the best combination.
Yeah, and they complement each other really well. They're a great little duo, actually.
Maybe they'll be there for the final.
Well, let me give you the rationale. Keown used that whole game as a vehicle to just have a pop at people he's got a personal problem with. He spent the whole time having a go at Louise. He spent the whole time having a go at
his next-door neighbour.
Whole time having a go at Fred, who were poor, of course they were, but then two players being poor isn't why you've conceded seven goals. And he should know that as a professional footballer. He should know that it's a team effort, and he should know that actually the whole team takes responsibility for it. Of course the ball could have stuck to Fred better. Of course he could have worked harder. Of course David Luiz could have held his position and played his captain's role better. But it's not their fault alone. And he kept plying that tray. He kept doing that.
Fernandinho got away with a lot because he was shocking. The third goal, it was his weak pass that let them in. Now, you've just gone 2-0 down. Make sure you know who's behind you, what's going on. But for the second goal, when Closer danced through, Fernandinho just, he stood off almost like there was
choose my words carefully, something a little bit dodgy going on there, if you know what I mean. The way he stood off was absolutely shocking. This is semi-final, you're 1-0 down. There he goes through. The third goal, it was all... Oh, and he tried to run back, and it was... I thought, this is the guy against Colombia who was chopping James Rodriguez, who was running around like a headless chicken, trying to stop everything in his way. Why was he playing like that?
But what's really... That really indicative of...
When I said why is he playing like that, that's not me trying to conspiracy
of
theory.
Of course.
I'm just saying that that's a good example of what on earth was going on with the psyche of those
But it's players. Indicative of the problem, isn't it? In a World Cup semi-final, for that particular flurry of five goals, the whole Brazil team looked like they were looking around for someone else to take responsibility and take charge and explain what to do, and nobody could.
Can you imagine having to make a half-time substitution? Who do you bring off?
Well, you brought Paulinho.
I just feel sorry for Big Phil at that point. We're going, well... Who'd you bring on at 5-0, like at half time?
It is weird how they went from a team who were very cynically rotating fouls around against Colombia, all doing their jobs pretty well. I mean,
rotating defensive howlers.
Yeah,
which is why I think he listened to the criticism and he heard what all the Germans were saying. And I think he thought, we're in the semi finals, we've got everyone behind us, this is our destiny, we're going to come out and actually play a little bit. And we're not going to give away fouls, and I'll show them. I think there might be a bit of that going on.
Do you not think that someone at FIFA just sort of went, look, we've had more fouls to yellow cards than ever in the last, I think, 20 years or something. We're going to, you know, and the eyes of the world are now on us because it's the semi-finals. We're going to punish yellow cards, we're going to punish red cards, and we're going to put a few out.
But how's that got to do with it?
It's because they just didn't... They didn't put tackles in. They didn't put a foot in at any point.
Yeah, I have so much going on. But we've only talked a little bit about Germany there.
Yeah.
Well, understandably so. But the side that scored seven goals need a little bit of credit.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so much throughout the World Cup, people have been saying, oh, Germany haven't really convinced yet. But they were shocking everyone.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, the Brazilian fans were olaying Germany passer tools in. They're a fickle bunch.
the way that they've been far more improved since they moved Lahm to fullback and brought Kadir in.
Oh, yeah. Kadir has been superb.
Yeah, he knows his job really well, and he's so good at it. But the positions they took up, they completely tormented Brazil. Just little triangles, little pop passes around here. Brazil just couldn't keep up with it. It was... And as you say, they do deserve a lot of credit. But it was one of those nights where everything went for them. It just clicked, didn't it? Like the Schürrle goal, that seventh Schürrle goal. I mean, 9 out of 10, that's gone over the bar.
Remember the control.
He's hitting a half volley on the rise. 9 out of 10, that's gone over the bar.
I think the keeper was at fault on that one. I think he could have been a bit taller on that one.
Give him some of the blame. you've got to share it out evenly.
Beautiful.
He was at fault for the goal which he palmed into the corner. Was it
Tony Cruz?
Cruz's first goal, yeah.
It would have been quite funny to see one of the defenders when they scored the seventh to go ape at... Julio says
that.
Yeah.
The guy in the
Ozil
crowd
missing
as well.
Missing the
Yeah, well, actually, Brazil's goal came as a result of that. It's a shame. It would have been nice for Ozil to get in the score sheet.
I'd love to have seen Lahm leg it back and hammer everyone for that goal.
it was annoying. So angry.
Yeah, yeah. Or foul him and get a booking. trying to prevent it. You want to keep the clean sheet. The Brazilian people chanted when the Germans pulled into their hotel, chanting Germany. And they were given a hero's welcome. Yeah, I mean, to be fair to the Brazilians, I mean, I thought it was very unfair to boo Fred when he came on the screen.
Awful.
He's had a bad World Cup, but I mean, come on.
And mate,
he's got one of those sort of faces, that kind of like 1970s kind of South American fella. Like, he looks a bit like he could be in Dexy's Midnight Runners or something.
He's a player that it's easy to get on the back of because he's almost like a poacher in there, and he's almost like an anachronistic type player. He's not the guy who's chasing everyone down around the channels and playing that sort of modern forwards role. He's a bit of a poacher, I don't know the guy, so he may well be lazy, but I would be surprised if he's got to lead the line for a Brazil side if he's lazy. So it just must be a type of football he plays, isn't it? And it's easy to make him a scapegoat.
And they didn't get the chances in the 6-yard box, which he kind of dines out on.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he missed sitters. He didn't have the opportunity, did he? It was said in the commentary on the BBC that, you know, a comparison between the difference between Fred now and in the Confederations Cup a year ago, and he did really well there. And we used to love Fred when he played at Lyon in the podcast. You know, it's like, and it's a shame how he just hasn't seemed to be able to cut it at this World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe it's just come too late for him.
It was pointed out by a number of people that the German under-21s from 2009, I think it was the European Championships there, featured Neuer, Hummels, Özil, Kadira, Howardes, and Boateng.
Golden generation, mate.
Well,
golden.
I mean, incredible, isn't it? I think only one from the England under-21s have faced them that...
It's Milner, isn't it? I think Milner was the only one.
And I believe Milner's still playing for England's under-21s, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got to get back for the next one, hasn't he? I mean, Germany, that midfield five that they have is stunning.
It's outrageous.
It is absolutely stunning. And they are, I mean, even if they'd have just got past Brazil, you'd still put them down as favourites.
Does anyone remember me saying they've got an imbalanced squad?
No, I don't remember.
There's a game to go, you never know.
Yeah.
Indeed. I mean, to be honest with you, we can talk all about why Brazil lost so spectacularly.
And... why do Brazil lose? Let's write that book.
Well, this may well be a trigger event that changes everything for them, I mean, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a freak result.
It's a freak result. I mean, I quite like what Sabella, the Argentinian coach, said about the result. He just went, it's football. I would explain it by saying it's the most illogical of all sports, but on the other hand, that's what makes it so beautiful. And it's a bit like yourself, Pete, illogical and beautiful.
I just think Brazil have got a heck of a lot more raw materials than England have, when we always say that we got to tear up the rule book and start again. You know,
but we never actually tear up the rule book. We take the rule book out of the drawer, look at it, get annoyed with it, slam it on the desk, go and do something else, come back, put it back in the drawer again. We never turn the rule book up because we are convinced that we wrote the rule book and it would be desecrating it, so we don't bother.
Everyone else should tear it up while we're off on our massive... Beano lunch.
We thought about tearing up the rule book, but an other option would be to get everyone else in the world to get rid of their rule book and start again.
You're damn right. But so others have a different opinion on why Brazil lost to Germany. Some have blamed Mick Jagger for the loss.
Yes. Yeah, I've heard of this superstition they have in Brazil.
Apparently, Big Mick, he's jinxed England, Italy, Portugal and the US in this World Cup alone.
Isn't it that every game he turns up at, they get beat or something?
Even if he declares his support for someone, they do.
Did 10 Mick Jaggers turn up?
Seven of them.
Yeah.
Well, we all know there's more than one. There's no way at this age you can do the things he does.
The camera adds 10 Mick Jaggers.
In the previous World Cup, he watched England lose to Germany, then sat with Billy Big Time Clinton to witness Ghana beat the US... And then he wore a Brazil shirt to their loss against the Netherlands, and messages of support.
When was this?
This was in the previous World
Cup. Yeah, right.
Alone. So this World Cup was mentioned. The thing he's been dubbed the Angel of Doom by some Brazilians, which is utterly ridiculous. And his 15-year-old Brazilian son, he attended the semi-final with.
Yeah.
So again, it's just one theory, ladies and gentlemen, that we had to present to you. We've got to present all the arguments.
Imagine making a Brazilian. I've made a Brazilian and the Brazilians hate me. It's like, I've made one of you. How dare you?
I've bolstered your ranks.
Yeah.
I'm giving you something back.
Sympathy for the Freddle.
Hey!
There we go. They just stood up Zoo Radio style.
That's the one, ladies and gentlemen. So there you go. Brazil 1, Germany 7, brackets SEVEN. Yeah.
Luke's got a smile on his face. He's about to bust out.
No, the reason I've got a smile on my face is because I hope you're not going to go back to that bit earlier, because I was just thinking of Rolling Stones puns the whole time. I wasn't listening.
Yeah, I thought you were. Yeah, Jim, Pete, you could learn from that.
Paint shit black. They were shit.
Yeah.
Shut up.
That's a shame. Netherlands.
Did you hear the last episode of the Football Ramble?
I endorsed it. Netherlands 0, Argentina 0.
Give me Schürrle.
That's good.
Give me Schürrle. Give me Schürrle.
Do an amnesty now, so that's it?
Yeah. Unless you think of one later.
Okay.
It's not an amnesty.
No. Well, changing the rule book, Jim.
Yeah, well, exactly. Good point.
Yeah. Argentina, they won 4-2 on penalties. All right, not a great watch.
Yeah, we should have started with this and had Brazil Germany for dessert.
This is like having an amazing meal, beautiful like filet mignon or something, and then literally getting served up an actual dog shit for dessert,
or just a grey brick, and you're just not told what it is.
What is it? It's a shit. They're not even sort of excusing it. It's a shit.
This grey brick is what you put dry flowers in. I think it's called Oasis.
Yeah.
There you are. You see, ladies and gentlemen, just a number of things for you there. Now, let's get on with it. Argentina, they probably had the better of it for the most part. I think the better side went through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just. You think?
The problem is that what's happening with Argentina is that everyone is scared of what Messi's going to do to them.
Yes.
So plays really defensively. Mm. And Holland, or Netherlands, sorry, were really cagey and they marked very tightly and they didn't want to give too much away. And I sort of get the impression that the Netherlands have... And you know when I said they peaked too early?
Yeah.
They have peaked too early, but not in a way that I envisaged. They've peaked too early by getting slowly more and more conservative as the tournament's gone on, because they felt, oh shit, actually we're in the semis now.
Yeah.
We can't carry on doing what we're doing. And what I would have liked, I'm not saying it would have brought any more success, but I'd like to see him stick with it, because Van Gaal's changed it around an awful lot. And I said he was the most tactically flexible coach at the World Cup, and I still believe that, but in a way it's been to their detriment.
Well, you can see that the first couple of matches, how many goals they scored and how amazing they were, and then they brought on Dirk Kuyt and they've played with him for pretty much every other match. But that said, I really feel sorry for Dirk Kuyt. I thought he had an excellent World Cup, that match against Mexico when he was playing on, I think he was playing like a left wing back, I think.
Yeah, he's so versatile and hard working.
And he was kind of in the sunshine, and he thought, well, second half, I'm not going to be in the sunshine. But then then he got moved, can you imagine?
Just running around the pitch of flame.
He's very fast.
And then he got moved over to the other side, so he remained in the sun. And this is on that day where everybody moved out the stand because it was too hot. Exhausted.
Dirk Kuyt is a sort of guy that you call if he's your mate when your electricity's gone off in your house or something. He's just the most dependable bloke. You must be, as a manager, you must love getting your squad together and being like, yes, we've got Dirk Kuyt in it. One, he'll do anything I say. Yeah. Two, he'll do it really well. Yeah. And he'll work really hard. He'll never complain.
Well, the great thing about a player like Kuyt in that sort of squad as well is because he has a past as a striker, and he scored a hell of a lot of goals in the Netherlands. It's easy to forget that. He's the kind of player where in a tight game, if a chance falls to him, he's very likely to bury it.
And he used to score important goals for Liverpool, didn't
he? Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Well, what was he doing at 33, is he?
There's talk of him going to
Manchester United.
He's certainly not getting any younger. Mm. Talk of him going to Man United. What, from you?
I'd take that.
Yeah.
As a Newcastle fan.
Is it you doing the talking?
Well, who would you rather there at Manchester United? You haven't got any Paul Scholes anymore. You haven't got any Ryan Giggs.
They look a bit dodgy at the back.
We need a Mr. Dependable.
Because I feel like this might replace my Danny Murphy de Villa shout with a bunch of listeners, and I'm going to get away with it. So I'm going to put a lot of weight behind that.
Dirk Kuyt, Man United.
Heard it here
there
first.
We go.
And last.
Insider knowledge. ITK, Donaldson, Burnley.
Robin had a great chance to win it, didn't he?
He did.
But
he Mascherano. Just took one touch too many. But Mascherano was just on him, wasn't he? He didn't really let him settle himself.
Oh my goodness.
Mascherano, by the way, was excellent, and he should be playing in defensive midfield. Mm.
Do you remember when Mascherano bit someone and then he never did it again, so it all just blew over?
Yep.
No, I didn't remember that, but I'm pleased you reminded me.
Do you remember when he couldn't get in the West Ham side?
Yeah. We just didn't play the West Ham way.
No,
that's true.
Good.
Mascherano. What a flippin'. He's been one of the players of the tournament.
He's been excellent.
That block against Robin, he was something else.
He was always going to be important, though, bearing in mind that the Argentinian defenders aren't all that.
Well, right. I know what you mean. Yeah, but they've had a good tournament.
It says a lot about the game itself that the two best players in the pitch were Vlahović and Mascherano. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, Concrete Ron.
Concrete Ron, yeah. What, very odd choice to have him take the penalty first. What do you think the thinking was behind
that? Well, apparently Van Gaal asked players about the penalties and two players just refused, right. And he thought Vlahović had such a good game that he was confident that he'll go up and get them going.
I'm going to defend Van Gaal here slightly, because it drives me mental when you see a central defender as hard as him hammer the ball out of defence over and over again
and then
still have to take a penalty and side foot it like he's Messi. Hammer it, just do what you're good
at. Garay did, I think.
Exactly.
It was just when he was running up to take the penalty, the commentator went, Aston Villa's Ron Vlahović. Oh god, he's going to miss.
Netherlands Ron Vlahović.
It's almost like when he's playing with better players and a better manager, he's a better player himself.
Aston
Villa fans, we love having him back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking forward to it, won't we?
Isn't he out of contract soon, Blair?
Re-Vlahović.
Possibly. It was a difficult night for the patented penalty algorithm.
It was.
Let yourself down there, Luke, didn't you?
Came under some scrutiny, didn't it?
Still refining it, though, Jim.
Yeah.
It's all part of my never-ending quest to formulate the perfect penalty competition solution.
Yes, that's right.
Some of the parameters need refining. But it did churn out a result that could have been seen as a Netherlands win, unfortunately.
But it was a tricky one.
Interestingly enough, a lot of I thought when the penalty algorithm thing came out last week, I thought I created a monster here. I'm hoping it's going to blow over. Mm. But I got about 100 tweets with about 5 minutes to go saying, what's the penalty algorithm saying? Marcus texts me saying Netherlands on your penalty algorithm. So right, yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah. Oh, hang on a minute. No. You'd have had Netherlands.
Sorry, I missed a bit out there. Marcus texts me, so I crunched some numbers myself and that confirmed it. But interestingly enough, a lot of people tweeted afterwards saying that they did their own penalty algorithm with my system and it came out Argentina. So there obviously needs to be a few refinements made.
I think what we're learning here is everyone needs to fucking grow.
I'll just finish this quickly. Well, it's free, the algorithm, so give it out for free. So it's a freemium model. It just needs a bit of refinement. I'm thinking something around the goalkeeper, but I'll get back to you on it. What? I hope the farmer doesn't get a penalty. He's going to ruin it for
me. Well,
if Dirk Kuyt is in nets, Holland win.
Yeah. I thought you should add something in to the algorithm. a little extra is the fourth part should be which team looks
scores the most,
looks the most,
scores the most goals, yeah,
looks the most determined.
But can I please use a get out of jail free card, which is when I pumped the numbers into the penalty algorithm, I didn't know Ron Flahov was going to take the first penalty.
Yeah,
that was at a left field.
Yeah, that's the kind of data that you just cannot manage for.
Get Huntelaar to take the first one.
Yeah. The Vlaar rhythm.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
What do you think? Do you think Tim Krul was ever going to get picked again? Has he now damaged the confidence of both Cillessen and Tim Krul?
Well, he's made the three subs, hasn't he?
Ahead of next season's Premier League, when Cillessen makes a move to one of their rivals.
Cillessen was trying the mind game, and he just thought, nah, it's not.
Apparently, he's never saved a penalty in his professional career.
So wow.
Well, he's the man you want.
Romero.
That's what's fucked up my algorithm.
Yes. Romero in his notes, though.
Yeah, I actually think that I am.
He had notes in his shorts where the takers were going to. Yeah. Probably
reminiscent of Jens, big Jens.
In 2006, against Argentina, of course, where there was a famous note which just said, Ayala, look at shooting foot left low.
Okay, works for him.
That note sold at a charity auction months later for $1.3 million.
I mean, Jens probably has a flair in there.
And Jens Lehmann probably never gave it to the person that bought it.
Yeah. Do you know, though, Romero, Van Gaal said he taught Romero how to save penalties at AZ in Holland as well.
I've got a feeling that Romero might be saving a premium first class Rick for the final. Because I can't believe he's had so little football and he's been quite good up until now.
Yeah.
He's still got one in him, and if I was an Argentina fan, I would be worried that it's not come out yet. Because it's going to come out at some point, I'm telling you.
Yeah. I thought it was incredible. Argentina looked so much more determined than the Dutch did. The Dutch against Costa Rica, we admired them. The way the air of, their body language, if you like, was very much, right, well, we've got to win this to go through, and we're going through, so we will then win this. Whereas in the semi-final penalty shootout, It was
the old Holland.
Yeah, it was like, oh, crap, we're playing against some really good players.
But it's almost like they show a lack of faith in their own ability by doing that, because, of course, Argentina are a very good team, but the Dutch have got, I mean, in Van Persie and Robin, they've got two of the best forward players in the world.
Yeah.
Like, why not just...
Well, Van Persie wasn't on the pitch at the time.
But in general, in the game, Van Persie was so isolated. I think Robin touched the ball, was it six times in the first half?
What Luke's saying, because they're worried about Messi.
Of course, but... I mean,
De Jong was brought back in the side for it.
But surely the Argentina defenders are worried about Robin and Van Persie. I just think they need to show a little bit more faith in themselves and go for it more.
Yeah, I think the factor for me was that Di Maria was absent. If Di Maria played, Argentina would win that game, I think.
Yeah, I think
they've gone through anyway, but they win it in 90 minutes because not only is he such a good player and such an energetic player, he makes a lot of space for Messi as well. Mm. And that could be the factor. I mean, I don't think they'll beat Germany in the final anyway, but if they had Di Maria, I'd give them a fighting chance.
Yeah, I mean, the finals, there's a lovely bit of recent history between the two. I mean, the previous two competitions, Germany have knocked the Argies out on penalties in 06, and then obviously 4-0 it was in South Africa. Mm. In 86 and 90, they both played each other in the final. So I wanted a sort of Germany-Netherlands or Brazil-Argentina final, but actually, there's a lovely bit of narrative to this, Petey.
There is. I'm looking forward to it.
Good.
I wonder whether Germany will throw caution to the wind and not sort of subscribe to that theory about Messi, whether they'll just go into the final and go, look, we're going to do this. I'm not going to worry about it.
But Germany don't really have players that are designed to stop players like Messi, like the Dutch do with De Jong. Or Brazil do with Fernandinho, for example.
And they're too classic to sort of kick lumps out of him, I think.
Sami Khedira is not interested in tracking Messi all over the place. Yes, he'll do a job, of course he will. But he wants to play a bit.
I don't know, Khedira would have played against Messi quite a few times with Madrid, though, so he'll have his own ideas.
Normally Pepe's involved.
Yeah. Oh, of course, yeah, but Khedira will, I'm sure, have seen him on the pitch.
But what I'm saying is, though, that he won't... If you say to Sami Khedira, right, your job today is just to stop Messi, I think he's not that type of player. I think that... Yes, he'll have an enormous responsibility to help out the defence with that job. But Germany will think to themselves, well, hang on, if we keep the ball, he won't have it. Mm. We'll cut off the supply. I think there'll be actually a little bit more to it than that.
Mascherano won't be able to deal with all those German attacking midfield players. And I think Germany will just take it to Argentina. And it might play a bit into Messi's hands. But I don't know whether even Messi, the great man himself, can do the business on not on his own, but you know what I mean? He can't spearhead it against such a good German side who are so full of confidence. But the problem...
Extra day's rest and a training ground match.
Exactly. And Argentina have gone through...
extra time.
Yeah, extra time. The only sort of slight fly in the ointment for Germany is they've created such a rod for their own back with that big win.
Yeah.
They can't go back to Germany now winning the semi-final 7-1, not winning the winning the World Cup. I mean, it's unthinkable. So if providing they don't buckle under that pressure, which they didn't do against Brazil in Brazil. They didn't play into the hands of Brazil like Colombia and Chile, who maybe had a bit more of an inferiority complex, did.
Yeah.
Germany didn't really care for reputation, so you'd hope they would just they'll take the confidence from the win against Brazil and use it to carry them over the line with their ability. But they're under more pressure than they have been because of that result. If they won that game 3-1, regulation win, it may be a bit different for them.
True, but it will also be more like a home game for Argentina.
Yeah,
thus taking pressure off Germany. There.
But Germany do have an advantage as well.
They'll have the home support.
They do, and also whenever the ball goes loose, it lands exactly at the feet of Thomas Müller. Just every time. So that's
magnetic.
Isn't it weird that Brazil will support the team who just beat them 7-1.
Them. Yeah, I suppose so.
I think that was probably just a few people. I don't think it was like the entire nation.
No, in the final, they will support Germany.
Oh. Presuming any of them turn up to the final.
Oh, God, I can't believe Brazil have to play the third-place playoff. They're going to be
horrible,
so
not.
Well, a part of me was hoping it was...
Argentina-Brazil.
Yeah, because that would still be a keenly contested third-place playoff.
Well, it's the only way it would give them any sort of incentive to actually play the game. I don't know what team Scolari's going to pick.
Van Gaal's really annoyed that they haven't
I saw that, yeah. He doesn't. Yeah, I mean, it's understandable, though. It's a bit of a weird one.
It is a strange.
It's the strangest game in football, isn't it?
He's a bit annoyed that he has to play it.
Mm. Sorry?
He's a bit annoyed that he has to play it.
Yeah, they have to actually go through, isn't it?
He's seen one before. It's kind of on the contract that you sign when you say, I want to play in the World Cup, please, thanks.
Yeah.
Tim Krul up front.
Yeah, imagine how delighted England would be to be in a third place playoff. Come on, chaps, this is it.
Yeah, enjoyed it in 1990.
Yeah.
It was a good one last time round, wasn't it?
Enjoyed it last time, 1990, still got beat. Yeah, the 2010 one was...
We were watching it in a bar, I recall.
Yeah.
Germany-Uruguay.
Yeah.
Mm. And the Germans are in the other one this time.
Aye.
The big one.
Indeed. Big daddy.
Indeed. Well, we'll be back for more World Cup chat after this message.
Listeners to the Football Ramble are eligible for a fantastic offer with Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. The easy-to-use drag-and-drop tools, responsive designs, and 24/7 customer support teams based in New York and Dublin mean you can create a beautifully designed website for as little as £5 a month. This includes a free domain name when you sign up for a year. Seamless e-commerce solutions mean that your business can be taking money in minutes. So when you sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code RAMBLE to get 10% off and show your support for the Football Ramble. No credit card required. Start building your website today. A better web starts with your website.
It's correspondence time.
It's not yet.
What?
No.
Pipe down, Donald. So we got Clint Dempsey in here, yeah?
Oh, sorry, guys. I jumped the deuce.
Yeah. Well, Clint Dempsey, let me tell you, if anyone is interested, he was given a standing ovation and the crowd chanted USA, USA, USA.
Where was this?
When he made an appearance on the David Letterman show. Since arriving back from Brazil, obviously. This is how highly he's thought of now in terms of chat show guests, Jim. He was in there with Halle Berry, Joan Rivers.
Yeah.
And
is that Brazil's new fullback?
Yeah. And Michael Douglas.
Wow. I thought you were going to say Michael Dubry. Yeah. Really taken off. So presumably he was the musical guest.
No, he was in the chair. But yeah, that would have been nice though.
I did listen to his the first cut from his new joint.
It's on the Ramble, isn't it? It's on the Ramble website.
Yeah.
Ramble.com.
What has he got in his pocket and not in his pocket?
Not in my pocket, which I thought meant money.
Right.
As in like rolls of money. But Kelly on the website said it apparently can mean wraps of cocaine.
Ooh, no.
The deuce wants to be careful.
No wonder he's got so much energy.
No way.
Drug test the deuce.
So the chorus mentions I've got knots in my pocket or something like that, yeah. Mate, I hope he doesn't. He just said it because he heard someone else say it. Doesn't know what it means.
Maybe he's just trying to be cool.
Yeah.
Maybe it's knots in his pocket because he's got. He used to have holes in his pockets to touch himself, but now he has said no to masturbation, and now he's knotted his pocket.
Can you stop this, please?
Probably.
I'm just trying
to
help him out.
Yeah.
What do you already thought of? A compulsive masturbator or a drug addict? You, not Luke, answer that now.
As a veteran of both, I find it very hard to choose between.
I've seen you do two at the same time.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Just before we came
again, thefootballramble.com.
Yeah.
Is there you find that. Now it's time for correspondence.
Oh, finally.
Is that all right for you, Pete? Or you're over it?
Far away.
This week, the question... Not this week, this show, the question was, what do you... Oh, hang on, I've lost it.
Wow.
It was, what do you think Luis Felipe Scolari said to his players at half-time on Tuesday night?
Go get the guitar.
Which a number of you tweeted me. Thank you very much for that.
Trilby Win, which I quite like as a name, says, let's drink.
yeah.
Not yet, Phil. Not yet, Big Phil. We can't. We can't. He said, let's drink, and Arthur played as well. We've been drinking for ages. mate, Marcus, Mike and Palmer comes in with a lovely Leatherhead Reserve shout. You're shit, you're shit,
yeah.
You're even shit.
Yeah.
What was his name? Big Kev?
Trev,
that's it, yeah.
Trev.
I like this one as well.
An old ramble joke.
From Guadzilla, he says, if we keep playing like this, they're going to score a Brazilian goals.
Good.
Yeah. Mike T goes for a bit more of a robust response. I hope you boys are fucking proud of yourselves, you useless, good-for-nothing cunts.
Oh, dear.
Bit
oh,
harsh. Wow. It's not going to help anyone. As Glenn Hoddle once famously said, half-time is a time for creating positive energy. You're not doing it with that, Mike T. Kyle Holm on Twitter, this is the worst day of Brian McDermott's life.
Yeah.
Doogie Mania, Marcelo off, Tiggy Rainbow on.
Yes.
He's not a left back, no. Tiggy Rainbow.
He'll do a job, though.
He wouldn't do a job at left back.
He wouldn't be able to run up the pitch.
He's a really flaky, like, attacking midfield player. Yeah. There's no way he's playing left back against that German side. Yeah. It's not happening. Lorenzo Pacitti through Facebook steps over a lion corpse. Fred, I really regret making this deal with you.
Excellent.
What have we got here? Two good ones to finish. Murray James, friend of the Ramble. If you carry on like this, Pele will never get another erection. And last but not least, by Who Framed Rule Fox, which is another good name on Twitter. I might nip off, actually.
Yeah. Excellent.
Let yourselves out.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. Can I please reiterate what I said last week, which is Brazil not scheduling themselves to play at the Maracanã to the final was arrogant. Yeah. And the chickens have come home to roost.
Oh, indeed. Man. That is weird, isn't it? A World Cup in Brazil and the host nation.
And Argentina are playing.
Yeah, twice. They've played there before.
Definitely in Euro 96 and possibly in World Cup 66. Did England play every game at Wembley?
I think so, yeah.
Definitely Euro 96, and I'm pretty sure.
Everything to your advantage.
Yeah.
You've got to do it. Why would you want to travel? I suppose the older nation want to see the team, fair enough, but use your advantage.
Just take all the travel away. It's crazy.
Brazil is huge.
What is it? Argentina and Netherlands had both, I think they had travelled around 5,000 kilometres by the time they got to that semi.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Long way to go.
Maybe it was to find the lions for Fred.
Yeah. That's why he was so tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd been wrestling lions. Pursuit hunting lions.
And presumably
lions.
Winning.
Well, he got in the squad, didn't he?
Well, if you don't win, you're out, you're dead.
Yes,
yeah.
As the old saying goes. I think that's it, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? We'll be back a day or two after the final itself to deconstruct that one for
Monday,
you.
Isn't it?
Monday, or Montag. Monday.
Should we do a quick scoreline prediction for the final?
Nah.
Come on. I'm going to go 2-0 Germany in normal time.
I was going to do that, but...
I'm going to go 1-0 by half-time Germany.
I was going to go 2-0. I'll have 3-1.
I was going to go 3-1, and I'm just going to do it.
Okay. No, don't.
So I would have gone for 2-1, but it's been taken.
We're all predicting German wins. That's the main point.
Yeah. Well, there we are.
Congratulations to Argentina.
Well done, them. that will definitely happen now. Because we are Mick Jagger.
Quick mention. I know it's not really the time or place, but maybe quick mention for £11 million for Ross McCormack.
What, Fulham?
Yeah,
right.
Unbelievable.
Incredible.
Unbelievable. It's got to be mentioned.
Whoa, it's not this come is crashing club football.
Down
to what earth. Are you doing?
All right, fine.
What are you doing? Because Jim will then want to talk about Alexis Sanchez and it'll just get very...
It's
very...
not happened yet and I don't want to jinx it.
It'll get very messy. Right, say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Luke.
I tried, club football fans. I tried.
And it's goodbye from me. Joga Bonita, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble.
Oh, Pete, hey, hey. Professional Pete Donaldson. Screwing up the basics.
Make sure you find it, love.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.